We're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Mekol Chaim. If a person read in the Torah and he made a mistake, so this happens, we make the person go back. Now, the rule is it has to be a mistake that changes the meaning of the word. But if people make mistakes in the tune, so then we don't make them go back, he says. Now, that's interesting because sometimes the tune can make a difference in the meaning, like where you put a pause. I don't like... I don't like apples. Oranges are delicious today. Where do you put the pause? There can be many examples. It says... The place that Hashem chooses, Sham tizbachta Pesach ba'arev. That's where you should slaughter the Paschal offering at night. Now, if you put the comma after the there, so that means Kim b'makom she'yivchar Hashem Sham. The only, you guys understand, only the place that God chooses there. Okay. There can be there are examples. Back to our back to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He says over here you do make a comment even though you don't make him repeat his reading. Now, what about places where the meaning doesn't change but the word sounds different? So then he says most of the commentaries hold you do make him go back. Where the word sounds different. He says, I'm very displeased with the fact that they make a person go back over every minute point, and then they shame him and hurt his feelings, and then they cause him to become even more confused, and that's something you very often find. That people are correcting and correcting the Baal Koreh, and they correct him so much that they confuse him, and what he used to know, now he doesn't know. So he says it would be a good idea after a person reads to point out to him what he did wrong. Most people are not ready to hear what they did wrong. You need a Baal Koreh who actually plans on laning long term and keeping track of what he did. There were years when I laned year after year, and then when people would point something out to me, I'd mark it in my tikkun for the following year. But you have a lot of people that read once a year or whatever, and then they're not even interested in hearing what they did wrong. What happens if a person keeps making mistakes? So then you got to figure out a way to get him to get it right. And sometimes it's good for a shul to set up a tester, a person who tests the people who want to read in the Torah. Ideally, we also try to have someone up there with the Baal Koreh who will correct him and also assist him. And in this, I always feel it's a big question of attitude. Some Gabbaim feel it's their job to catch every mistake and correct the Baal Koreh. And I think the approach has to be, it's their job to assist the Baal Koreh. It happens to me sometimes they'll catch him on a mistake, but their approach should be that they're there to assist him when he's not sure how to read it, or sometimes he needs a supporter. You know, sometimes you could read quietly and the other guy can lane. Yeah, there's a shul here in this neighborhood where the gabbai has hand signals that are so accurate that the Baal Koreh doesn't have to prepare that much, because the Gabbai knows how to signal him my hands, and he knows which words to say just before the Baal Koreh does, so that the Baal Koreh doesn't get confused. So that's a very skilled Gabbai and a very skilled Baal Koreh. Okay, we see from the Talmud that this used to be the case in the days of the Talmud as well. The Talmud discusses the fingers they used to make signs with and how to read the Torah. So that's fine.
Do you use those signs today?
Yeah. So there's a slight difference between the Sfaradi and Ashkenazi signs. For example, when you point for the Ashkenazim, that's a Revi, This would be a mapach pashto. By the Sfardim, they do this. That means a mapach pashto. I'm saying they just wave it on. So that's like, keep going, keep going. But that's because they don't make so much changes in the tone on a mapach pashto. By us, it's a mapach pashto. By them, it's more like reading. So this really makes sense to wave them on. So you just got to know, you got to match the signals between the Balkore and the Gabbai. What happens if a person gets an Aliyah and they show him where his Aliyah is? He makes a blessing and then he wants to start, or before he's about to start, they tell him wrong parasha. Believe it or not, this happened to me as a Balkore on Yom Tiv. So sometimes on Yom Tiv, we would read Kol HaBechor, and sometimes Aser Te'aser, which is basically in Parshas, Re'eh, I think, you have either a longer Parsha if it falls out on Shabbos, or a shorter Parsha if it falls out on a weekday. So I prepared the longer one, not realizing this. I was like 14, 15. And the guy gets an aliyah, and I show him the longer aliyah, and he makes his blessing, and then I'm about to start, and I start, and the tzibur yells wrong, you know, I'm supposed to start Kol HaVichar. So I didn't know what happened. Like, I thought I prepared the right parsha. Luckily for me, it was something I had prepared.
I prepared
the longer, right?
Yeah, so.
But that's how I learned this halacha. The Gabbai knew what he was doing.
It was shorter, and it was the longer.
Right.
Do you just stop and then start the
right? Right. So that's what, here there's a big machlokas. Halacha lemaisa, he says that if you have to wheel away, meaning the place that you open to the Sefer Torah does not show you what you have to read, so then you make a new blessing, even though they're both from the parsha. So that's what they did there, because you had to wheel down like two or three columns to the reading. So the person who got the aliyah had to make another blessing. Yeah.
Yesterday, just by chance, I hadn't seen it before. The person reading Thursday, one of the minyanim, the neighbor that happened to be davening, I don't know what that meant. He did stop, you know, after the second one before Shlishi, he kept going. People, you know, they stop. So then he stopped, and then when they called the
Shlishi,
next person up, he just reread it again. I guess, I don't know if that's...
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. So there are opinions that say, even in such a scenario, being that they were both from today's reading, so then you don't have to make another blessing, but that's not the custom. The custom is that once you have to wheel away, then you do have to make another blessing.
Seems different, because normally if we're not sure if we made a blessing or not, for many things we don't.
Right.
Here
the poskim say, if you didn't see it, your blessing wasn't on that. You blessed on the section that's open in front of you. If you have to wheel away, if you have to wheel the Torah scroll to another section, so that then your blessing didn't cover that.
You do it for the first time.
What?
Then you make it the blessing for the first time.
Right. The other one doesn't count. Yeah. What happens if a person begins the blessing Asher Nosan Lanu? He gets an aliyah, and as often happens, a person gets confused and starts Asher Nosan Lanu. So, if he didn't conclude the blessing, if he didn't say Hashem's name at the conclusion, so then he corrects himself, Asher Bachar Banu. But if he concludes, Baruch Hashem Kenu Machlam, Shenasa Lanu Teras Emes, V'cheilam Nata B'Socheinu. And before anyone corrects him, he goes, Baruch Ata Hashem. So then he concludes the blessing. And after the Aliyah, he'll make the blessing of Asher Bachar Banu. He'll switch the order. No one knows this. So if you do it, they'll all be pouncing down your back. But that's what he writes.
But don't do it on purpose.
Don't do it on purpose. Of course not. No. What happens if you made the first blessing right, Asher Bachar Banu, and then in the blessing after the reading, you started again, Asher Bachar Banu? So again, if you remember before you say Hashem's name, Baruch Hashem Ken Malcham Shabbat Abanukolam Inaslanos Torah. So, and before you say Baruch Ata Hashem, you remembered. So then you go back and correct yourself. But if you finished Baruch Hashem Noten HaTorah, so you basically concluded a blessing, you got to start from scratch. Baruch Hashem Shenasan Lanu. If you concluded the blessing. So the key to this is to have a sitter. Go up there with the sitter. I go up there with the sitter. If I don't know what shul I'm in, I try to go up there with the sitter. So even though I can remember the blessing, I find it very hard to have kavanah if I don't have the writing in front of me. So in the shul I'm familiar with that has the blessing up there, fine. Otherwise I take a sitter. What happens if you go up there and you think it's written there and then you don't see it? So don't be embarrassed. Ask the gabbai for the blessing. It's better to have it in front of you.
Get your sitter.
He might tell you to get your sitter. I feel like it's wrong of a shul not to have it up there. So if you're asking for the blessing, I might get him to realize, hey, we should really have this here.
It's like